Now turn to part three. You will hear part of an interview with two wildlife photographers called Alan Stoker and Daniela Bertram, who are talking about their work. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
With me today are the acclaimed wildlife photographer Alan Stoker and Daniela Bertram, who's just won a major prize for wildlife photography. Alan, you're reportedly concerned about declining professional ethics in wildlife photography. What do you mean by that?
I meant simply that for many photographers nowadays, capturing a striking image seems to have taken precedence over the satisfaction to be gained from the actual process of securing it. For me, wildlife photography is all about getting close to something that's alive, gaining an insight into the reality of its daily life. That brings a responsibility to the creatures you photograph that transcends any technical considerations about equipment, processing software or whatever. And if this attitude sometimes affects the saleability of my pictures, then so be it. I have no problem with that. Financing the activity should be the means to an end, not vice versa.
So, how do you tackle an assignment?
Well, I worked on a project to photograph birds called grebes this summer. They nest around inland waterways, and to get the shots I wanted, without disturbing them, I had to crouch in freezing cold water under a dense thorn bush.
Ooh.
I was scratched to pieces and chilled to the bone, but wouldn't have missed it for the world. The project was deemed a success. All the young birds fledged safely, and we've had modest sales for the images. My pictures will never set the world alight. Some of the other photographers involved got much better ones, and I don't begrudge them that. I still see every shoot as part of a long learning process, really, so I'm not prone to disappointment.
And you've also set up a wildlife conservation trust, I believe.
That's right. I feel a real need both to contribute myself to conservation initiatives and to encourage others to do so. But asking people for money's always difficult. I've generally made my own contributions behind the scenes in the past. I'm not into grand gestures or anything, but I'm beginning to see the virtue of leading by example. What we've done is set up a scheme whereby anyone buying one of my endorsed photo sets also makes a fixed percentage payment to the trust. It's wholly transparent, yet cynics claim it's just a way of marketing the products. But I promise you, the hassle involved in setting these things up would hardly make that a cost-effective proposition.
I think Daniela should come in here. After all, her prize-winning photograph was of birds having their feathers cleaned after an oil spill. How do you feel about your win?
It was a dream come true. It would be quite ridiculous to claim I wasn't pleased about the prize money, but what was happening in the area affected by the spill was far more significant than anything else, and my photo shone a light on that, and that was uniquely gratifying. Even some of the other photographers whose work was up for the award have been amazingly supportive of the cause. And the Natural History Museum, did you know the pictures exhibited there? Well, that's been one of my favourite places since I was a child, so that was brilliant too.
So your approach to wildlife photography and conservation issues is quite different from Alan's.
Well, first of all, let me say how much I admire Alan's work. But my background is as a photojournalist, so for me, pictures tell stories. The oil spill, for instance, was awful. But strangely, there was some beauty to be found in it. I'm interested in people thinking about what they're looking at and being moved by it. There's 7 billion of us on the planet, and if we want to be here for the long haul, we need to start looking after it. I don't know about creating change in attitudes, how on earth to quantify that, but waking people up to the situation's perfectly possible.
Finally, both of you, what about some advice for people just entering wildlife photography?
My tip for anyone starting up is to indulge their passion. Shoot away, but go for depth. My work focuses on a narrow range of species, but where I win is what my pictures tell you about those species. What do you think, Daniela?
Well, I don't consider myself a wildlife photographer. I'm a conservation photographer, so I guess I'm pretty single-minded too. But I'd also say, be a ruthless editor. Don't show substandard work because you'll live to regret it.
And I learn about animals and where to find them from experts in the field. Reserve managers, gamekeepers, researchers. I've referred to them all.
Sure. And that's right for your kind of work, less so for mine. I'd have no problems going along with depth rather than breadth, though. Shoot away, by all means. Indulge your passion. But don't kid yourself your stuff's any better than it really is.
There we must stop. Thank you both.
Now you'll hear part three again.
With me today are the acclaimed wildlife photographer Alan Stoker and Daniela Bertram, who's just won a major prize for wildlife photography. Alan, you're reportedly concerned about declining professional ethics in wildlife photography. What do you mean by that?
I meant simply that for many photographers nowadays, capturing a striking image seems to have taken precedence over the satisfaction to be gained from the actual process of securing it. For me, wildlife photography is all about getting close to something that's alive, gaining an insight into the reality of its daily life. That brings a responsibility to the creatures you photograph that transcends any technical considerations about equipment, processing software or whatever. And if this attitude sometimes affects the saleability of my pictures, then so be it. I have no problem with that. Financing the activity should be the means to an end, not vice versa.
So, how do you tackle an assignment?
Well, I worked on a project of photographed birds called grebes this summer. They nest around inland waterways, and to get the shots I wanted, without disturbing them, I had to crouch in freezing cold water under a dense thorn bush.
Ooh.
I was scratched to pieces and chilled to the bone, but wouldn't have missed it for the world. The project was deemed a success. All the young birds fledged safely, and we've had modest sales for the images. My pictures will never set the world alight. Some of the other photographers involved got much better ones, and I don't begrudge them that. I still see every shoot as part of a long learning process, really, so I'm not prone to disappointment.
And you've also set up a wildlife conservation trust, I believe.
That's right. I feel a real need both to contribute myself to conservation initiatives and to encourage others to do so. But asking people for money's always difficult. I've generally made my own contributions behind the scenes in the past. I'm not into grand gestures or anything, but I'm beginning to see the virtue of leading by example. What we've done is set up a scheme whereby anyone buying one of my endorsed photo sets also makes a fixed percentage payment to the trust. It's wholly transparent, yet cynics claim it's just a way of marketing the products. But I promise you, the hassle involved in setting these things up would hardly make that a cost-effective proposition.
I think Daniela should come in here. After all, her prize-winning photograph was of birds having their feathers cleaned after an oil spill. How do you feel about your win?
It was a dream come true. It would be quite ridiculous to claim I wasn't pleased about the prize money, but what was happening in the area affected by the spill was far more significant than anything else, and my photo shone a light on that, and that was uniquely gratifying. Even some of the other photographers whose work was up for the award have been amazingly supportive of the cause. And the Natural History Museum, did you know the pictures exhibited there? Well, that's been one of my favourite places since I was a child, so that was brilliant too.
So your approach to wildlife photography and conservation issues is quite different from Alan's.
Well, first of all, let me say how much I admire Alan's work. But my background is as a photojournalist, so for me, pictures tell stories. The oil spill, for instance, was awful. But strangely, there was some beauty to be found in it. I'm interested in people thinking about what they're looking at and being moved by it. There's 7 billion of us on the planet, and if we want to be here for the long haul, we need to start looking after it. I don't know about creating change in attitudes, how on earth to quantify that, but waking people up to the situation's perfectly possible.
Finally, both of you, what about some advice for people just entering wildlife photography?
My tip for anyone starting up is to indulge their passion. Shoot away, but go for depth. My work focuses on a narrow range of species, but where I win is what my pictures tell you about those species. What do you think, Daniela?
Well, I don't consider myself a wildlife photographer. I'm a conservation photographer, so I guess I'm pretty single-minded too. But I'd also say, be a ruthless editor. Don't show substandard work because you'll live to regret it.
And I learn about animals and where to find them from experts in the field. Reserve managers, gamekeepers, researchers. I've referred to them all.
Sure. And that's right for your kind of work, less so for mine. I'd have no problems going along with depth rather than breadth, though. Shoot away, by all means. Indulge your passion. But don't kid yourself your stuff's any better than it really is.
There we must stop. Thank you both.
That's the end of part 3.